Hi, everybody. Welcome to Fantasy Football Almost Daily. It's the Salary Cap Show. I don't know what day you're listening to this show, so I can't tell you what day it is right now. Could be Friday, could be Saturday, could be Sunday, could be next Tuesday, and you missed all of this good information that we're about to give out to you.
But you really like the vibe with the co-hosts, and it's more about entertainment for you than it is, you know.
I mean,
it's like hanging out with your friends.
Yeah. We don't have a Brian in here saying curse words for today's Salary Cap podcast. And I know that that's a really big draw for people. I get a lot of messages every time Brian drops like three or four F-bombs on a show, like, whoa, dude, this wasn't a show that you could play in front of your kids. And yeah, we get explicit sometimes, but me, Matt Harrison, and Trevor Jones, we usually keep it pretty chill.
Yeah, I was voted most wholesome in high school.
Were you really?
No.
Is that a thing?
I don't think so. Does anyone do that anymore?
Most 12-grain, the superlatives?
Yeah,
I think that they still do. I remember seeing, I just had my 20-year high school reunion this last summer, and somebody brought that little section of the yearbook, which was like a little amendment to the yearbook, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. I forgot like all of these existed.
Was everyone right? Most succeed and fail and...
they were like most athletic and like most likely to become president and...
Is one of your classmates president?
God, I hope not.
Just checking.
All right, let's go in the fan ball order.
I'm Trevor Jones, by the way.
I said that.
Did you?
Yeah. I said me, Matt Harrison, along with you, Trevor Jones.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
we're not curse wordy people.
Right.
You bastard.
It was just not a standard intro. It threw me off.
Right. Sometimes I meander around these intros. That's what
pros do.
What an old podcast pro can do. Pittsburgh at Baltimore. That's the first game in the slate. It's in Baltimore, which makes me always like Pittsburgh a little bit less. So it just, to me, it kind of drives down the value of everybody in this game because the less scoring there is, the less fun it is for salary cap.
True. Yeah. Less scoring usually equals less, fan ball points.
Yeah. So implied totals of 22 and 25 for Pittsburgh and Baltimore, respectively, an over-under of 47. That's on the low end this week, one of the lower ones that you're going to see, especially since we have, geez. I mean, we could gloss over these games pretty quickly and just get to the Rams-Saints and the Packers. Patriots.
Just get those games right, and you can kind of just fill out whoever.
Really, it's all the afternoon games. So, Pittsburgh, Baltimore. Anything you want? Let's just go through this like seriously quickly.
Yeah. So James Conner is very interesting. 8,300. The guy averages lots of touches every week. His last three fan ball points are 40, 31, and 36.
Baltimore's been awesome against running backs, though.
They have, yeah.
Just absolutely awesome. It's a terrible matchup for Connor.
It is.
I'm not spending $8,200 on him. No way. When Todd Gurley is only $1,000 more.
Well, you can play both. You don't have to just
play
one.
No, you can't.
Okay.
It's not how it works.
All right. We hate everyone. Do not watch this game.
I think I do hate everyone.
Don't think about it.
The only guy that I think that I could spend the money to get into my lineup is John Brown. And that's a total, like, shot-in-the-dark dart throw where I'm filling out that last guy on my roster in the flex position or the wide receiver tight end, and I have 6,000 left exactly. Mm-hmm. That's where John Brown comes into play here. He's 6,000.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh has not been great against the wide receiver. They've been better as of recently, but still they're giving up 190 yards per game to the position over the year, and almost two touchdowns per game to wide receivers. So that puts John Brown in play.
They gave up 116-1 to John Brown when they met in week four.
Ah, nice pull. Nice pull.
The other play, you know, we know Ben on the road, his splits are bad. Baltimore's defense is at just 3,200.
Oh, yeah. I think that's a nice call there. I always forget about the defenses.
I know, but it's like, all right, we can't talk about anyone. Just pick somebody in there. There you go, Ravens defense.
All right, there we go. Next game is Kansas City and Cleveland. And obviously Kansas City is a fun team to talk about at all times. And really not particularly horrible matchups for them. There's really two games in the noon games that are of interest for fantasy perspectives, I think. And I think it's Kansas City, Cleveland, and Tampa, Carolina. And other than that, I kind of want to avoid all the noon games. On the Kansas City side, Mahomes, you're spending $7,800 to get him.
That's the most expensive guy on the
slate. Most expensive quarterback on the slate. Kareem Hunt is $8,400, but Kareem Hunt probably has the best matchup of all these guys. And then you can't talk about Kansas City without talking about Tyreek Hill, who's been awesome on the road his entire career. This game is being played in Cleveland. Cleveland's terrible against wide receivers. I think they're going to try to put Ward on him, but Tyreek Hill moves around so much and does so many different things that Ward might end up on Sammy Watkins more often than not, because Hill's just weapon X. So
yeah,
you can make a Kansas City stack and feel pretty confident with it, and even include Travis Kelce, who's at 7,000. Although the matchup isn't as good for Kelce, but he's Travis Kelce, and he can.
Yeah, he's not your average tight end, so I wouldn't worry too much about tight end matchups.
Mm-hmm.
Tyreek Hill, like you said, on the road is explosive. The Denzel Ward thing, I know there's, like you said, there's talk he might get shadowed by Ward. It doesn't matter. Like, he could get shadowed by a robot. He can't.
Well, robots aren't really as fast as Tyreek Hill.
I suppose real life robots are actually pretty slow generally. But
do they make a robot that can run really run with legs really
fast?
Yeah.
Have you seen Boston Robotics?
Oh,
or some
company? I saw that they had a robot that could open doors.
Yeah. The robot thing is actually really scary. Someone's going to use it Lex Luthor or whatever.
Donald Trump.
But, iRobot is going to come to life and start,
Trevor's afraid of robots.
Doing stuff to us. Anyways.
So
Tyreek Hill's real fast and nobody else is.
You're not going to feel bad about playing any of your Chiefs, but know that they're probably going to be very highly owned.
And you're paying a premium for it.
And you're paying up for it. So on the other side, is there anybody on Cleveland that really moves the needle for you? To me, there's two players that I think are kind of interesting. It's Jarvis Landry at 7,600, just because I think he's going to be a heavy volume guy involved in this game. That's a pretty high price to pay, though. Kansas City's wide receiver defense is middle of the pack. But the other guy that's pretty interesting is Duke Johnson, who's only $4,400 in this game. And the Chiefs have given up the fourth most receptions to running backs in the league and the most receiving yards per game to running backs in the league this season. Obviously, there's a completely new offensive coaching staff now in place.
Kitchens.
Yeah, Freddie Kitchens.
Freddie Kitchens, yeah.
And he joked about getting Duke 45 touches in a press conference earlier. I think it was Thursday or Wednesday. So it would be interesting to see, with the game script maybe flowing toward Kansas City, Duke Johnson might be in play a little bit more. I kind of like him as a sneaky 4,400 guy.
Yeah, I like him too. The one guy I like on Cleveland's side as well is David Njoku, who everyone will be off because he goose-egged us last week.
He pooped the bed.
Not even a target.
Yeah.
You look at his box score and you figure he was injured. He was, suspended. But Kansas City is bad against the tight end. They gave up the fourth most receiving yards a game, eighth most catches per game. And before last week, Njoku had at least six targets and 50 yards in every Baker Mayfield start. Mm. So I think that's a guy that, he'll get involved in the red zone. They'll probably need to throw a lot. I think he could get, seven, eight targets. And for a $5,000 salary, that's a pretty good bet at tight end.
All right. Detroit is at Minnesota. Over under in this game of 50.5. So, kind of interesting. I kind of feel like the Vikings, after getting exploited in a few different ways and giving up 30 points in the previous game against New Orleans, I think the Vikings kind of lock this down. And I think it's going to be a little bit of a slow plodding game, this divisional matchup between the Lions and the Vikings. If it's me, I'm betting the under on this game. I think it ends up being a scenario like maybe a 24-20 kind of a matchup where, I just don't feel really super comfortable about anybody except for Adam Thielen, and I'm paying a ton for him. He's $8,800, most expensive, or maybe is he third most expensive wide receiver?
He's number one.
Most expensive wide receiver. Obviously going for the record, the ninth 100-yard game in a row to start a season. against the Lions, who own that record with Calvin Johnson. So Thielen's the one guy I think that I feel good about on this team. Stephon Diggs has been questionable all week with
if Diggs misses, that really bumps up Thielen even more.
It
as if he wasn't I mean he's yeah, going to get 10 11 targets anyways, but this passing game is so concentrated between Diggs and Thielen.
Darius Slade doesn't go to the slot, so they can hide Thielen in the slot. It means Darius Slade's covering Laquan Treadwell.
Good use of his talents, I think. Yeah.
I almost feel like we should have Diggs and Thielen both play slot receivers just to keep Slay out of the game. Latavius Murray's at a good value at 5,600. Lions haven't been particularly good against the run. And Kirk Cousins at 7,300. It's not a supreme discount. He's still in the 7,000s for quarterback, but he's been really good all year. Mm-hmm. So,
like you said, though, I don't see this one becoming a shootout.
Yeah.
And 7,300, I'm looking for kind of the upside. I'm not sure.
There's upside in the other games that we're going to find a little bit later. I'm avoiding Stafford because I want to see how this shakes out a little bit without Golden Tate. Vikings should be returning a few defensive starters who were injured last week to the field, so that might hurt Stafford as well. Kerryon Johnson, 7,000. That's too much, right?
I agree, yeah. Especially that you can get pretty close to you can spend a few hundred dollars more and get people who I have a lot more confidence.
Yeah, I mean, I like the player, but the matchup's not particularly great. The Vikings have been middle of the pack so far statistically against the run, but in the past they've just been a good run team. So it wouldn't surprise me if Kerryon gets bottled up, but I think he gets the opportunities. It's tough for me to find things on the Detroit side that I really like. Well, you like Galladay at 57?
Yeah. You know, obviously Tate leaving opens up 9-10 targets a game for both Jones and Galladay. That's where the targets will go. And Galladay is a significant discount off Marvin Jones.
Yeah.
He's 800 cheaper, and everyone's going to see Marvin Jones' box score last week of 117-2. Click him into their lineup, and I think so. I think Galladay's in a better spot. And he's cheaper.
I feel like they're going to have Trey Waynes, who's the healthier of the Vikings corners, match up on Galladay, because Galladay is a speed guy and Waynes is kind of a speed guy as well. And probably if Xavier Rhodes is ready to play, they're probably going to have him go against Marvin Jones. So be interesting to see how this all shakes out. But I'm still nervous about the Detroit side overall.
Yeah, I wouldn't put a ton of stock into it, but Kenny Galladay is a guy I'm really looking at putting in my lineups this week.
Yeah. All right, the next game is the Atlanta Falcons at the Washington Professional Football Team. 47.5 is the over-under in this game. You got to like, from a matchup standpoint, Washington's ability to find some value in a salary cap game a little bit more. However, Washington doesn't have a lot of super exciting players on their team. Alex Smith isn't a guy that I ever go to war with in a salary cap game. Maybe I'm completely wrong, but I just...
If you want a floor of 12 points, Alex Smith's your guy.
He's 6,300, and he's just uninspiring. I think Adrian Peterson is interesting, though. He's 7,400. Atlanta's been pretty bad against running backs, but it's mostly been to pass-catching running backs. So, you'd think Chris Thompson, but Chris Thompson is trending toward out. He's, I believe, listed as doubtful right now. So it leaves Peterson as the top guy in the pecking order. Capri Bibbs is kind of the next guy if you want to go super deep. He's 3,300. If you wanted maybe a pass-catching back going against Atlanta, yeah, Capri maybe. Bibbs is like he's a take-a-chance-on-me style running back.
Yeah, I don't think we need a basement bin that low.
Maybe not.
But and Peterson's like the exact running back I don't want to use on FanBall. PPR scoring, it can go wrong so many ways for Adrian Peterson.
It sure can, yeah.
And even if Chris Thompson's out, I don't think they're just like, all right, well, it's Peterson time. He'll just slot into that, you know, pass-catching role. The one guy I like on Washington is surprisingly healthy Jordan Reed, who
is... Surprised that he's healthy?
Well, yeah, and it's okay. Weird.
So you can be surprised that he's healthy, but also be surprised that he's been healthy for so long and done nothing.
I know, that's
all year.
It's the crazy part. I'm like, dude, you're supposed to be good. What are you doing? anyways, he is 4,900 at tight end. Don't look at the box score because then you won't want to play him.
I don't want to play him.
But Atlanta has been so bad against the tight end. They've been bad against just everybody. The safeties are out. The linebackers are out. So every time you can, fire up tight end or, you know, a pass-catching running back against these guys. Definitely a tournament play. Not something I'd go in cash, but...
I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it, man.
I don't blame you.
On the other side, Washington's defense has been pretty legit. They add your favorite player in the league, haha, Clinton Dix, this week. Tevin Coleman and Ito Smith are completely out of lineups for me. They're facing just an awesome Washington run defense, and they're splitting carries, and it's gross. So that leaves the passing game in play. Matt Ryan's only 6,900, so he's coming at a discount of those top-tier guys. The Washington team has given up a lot of completions and attempts this year, but not a lot of yards and not a lot of scores. They're very bend-don't-break. And what that means to me is Julio Jones is totally going to score a touchdown in this game because it makes no sense for him to score a touchdown.
I thought you were going the route where he's just going to put up a ton of catches and yards.
Makes sense. So if we all say that makes sense, Julio's going to have like three touchdowns and like 250 yards in this game for no reason at all.
Yeah.
And if you want a guy that nobody's on, nobody at all, it's going to be Julio, right? It's 7,900.
Right, because we keep saying he's going to do it one of these weeks. He's going to put up 200 and two touchdowns. We don't think it'll happen this week, which means like it's good a chance as it'll ever happen.
It has been,
you know,
343 days since Julio Jones' last regular season touchdown.
Yeah, that's not
We're
awesome.
We're coming up on a year.
I know, it's like his anniversary. Maybe he has a game that day, you know, then we can play him. Maybe he only scores touchdowns once every, you know, blue moon or something.
What do you think about Calvin Ridley getting the discount at 5,900? He's been their touchdown scorer wide receiver this year, but it's been a couple weeks since he's found the end zone. He hasn't caught a touchdown since week four.
Yeah, and he just isn't getting the targets to justify 5,900 price tag. His last three games, 5, 3, and 6 targets. You know, I don't want to pay that for somebody who just isn't involved enough.
You know what I don't want to pay for? The New York Jets and Miami Dolphins.
All right. And then the next game. Yeah.
And the next game is? Like, Kenyon Drake is 6,300. Isaiah Crowell's 5,600. If you're in that range for a running back, sure.
Yeah.
Not particularly tough matchups. Actually, Isaiah Crowell has a great matchup. The Dolphins have been hot garbage against running backs so far this year. So Kroll's decent, but it's not a fun play. It's not fun playing Isaiah Crowell.
No, and he's another guy that, you know, there's a good chance he gets game scripted off of the field, right?
Yeah.
He's the bruiser, and he's got a little bit of chops in the pass game that he's shown this year. But Elijah McGuire, their pass catching back, I believe is coming off of IR this week, so I think he would slot in there.
Another game I basically want no part of is the Chicago Bears at the Buffalo Bills. The Bears defense is 4,000. Are you paying up for the Bears defense facing Nathan Peterman?
Boy, that's tempting.
And if Nathan Peterman falters, Matt Barkley, who's been on roster for 3 days.
It'd be the Matt Barkley revenge game.
Ooh.
So what happened to Derek Anderson? He's hurt, right?
He died.
Oh, he died. They buried his body.
Rest in peace.
I feel bad. The guy comes off the street. He's like, hey, I'm going to play a game and, like, you know, pick up, 50K or whatever, game check. And then it's like, oh, concussion. There's, like, some life-altering injury for you.
But he
thanks
gets
for coming back.
Since he's injured, he gets extra money for still being on roster, right?
Maybe he's lying about the concussion.
Yeah,
maybe
that's probably
he's
it.
Just looking for that injury money.
Tariq Cohen, 6,900, or Jordan Howard, 5,900. I think that's the only other consideration that I'm making in this game.
Yeah.
And I don't even really like it that much.
I don't either. Last week, Cohen was bailed out I don't want to say bailed out, but he had one catch, and it went for 70 yards and a touchdown. You know?
The Bills' defense has given up the second most receptions and fourth most receiving yards to opposing running backs this year. So that's your silver lining there. But Tariq Cohen's 6,900, and that's a ton for a guy who – is he capped at 15 touches?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. More like 10. The over-under on this game is 37.
37?
Good Lord.
In a row?
That is...
I heard total points scored by Chicago defense or total points scored by Chicago offense. Which would you take?
I'm still going with the offense.
Okay.
But
it is their job to score points.
Yes, it is.
All right. The last early game on the slate is Tampa at Carolina. Over under 54 in this game. Quite a bit more than Chicago Buffalo. On the Carolina side, you like basically everything, right? Cam Newton is 7,500. You could go naked Cam with a quarterback and feel pretty good about it.
Yeah.
Tampa's brutal against the pass, and they are
dead last in passing yards allowed and passing touchdowns allowed.
In the last five games, they have allowed the most rushing yards to quarterbacks in the league.
So it's all lining up. Yeah, I think Cam is the number one play this week. I don't think you have to pay up for him, but I think I will be. His floor has been so high recently.
Yeah.
Weirdly, Norv Turner has sort of caught up to NFL times. People on Twitter are like, oh, man, look at Norv Turner. And it's like, cool offense.
Is it Norv Turner doing things, or is it just that he has a whole bunch of weapons that can do a lot of things that are just doing things on their own?
Yeah.
Is it Cam Newton and Christian McCaffrey who can both do many different things? Like, just being talented and improvising the entire time?
Maybe, but he's not actively tanking their fantasy value. So
that's
we'll give him that. But, yeah, so I like – you can really stack Carolina. Christian McCaffrey.
8,100 for McCaffrey.
Kind of a little expensive. One of your worries coming into the year was, touchdowns is
– correct.
Going to be hard to come by. He put up two last week. So he's more of a floor play than a ceiling play, I think. But – if your floor is around 15 points and you have the opportunity for 20-25, that's not bad.
Yeah, if you're playing in a double up, McCaffrey is a nice little play. He's very safe.
Yeah.
And then you were talking about how you kind of like a few of the wide receivers on the Carolina side too.
I do, yeah. Funchess
is at 7,000.
Yep, Funchess is at 7,000, so he's a little pricey. But he's going to get targets. Torrey Smith is out, which is going to open up a few targets for him and DJ Moore, their first-round rookie. And he's only 4,300. If you're looking for, you need to save some money somewhere, obviously. Last week he had six targets and turned those into five catches for 90 yards.
Yeah.
This is a guy that's really talented, and Tampa Bay is really untalented in the secondary.
Moore had 39 rushing yards in that game as well. And, yeah, Tampa, as you said, fourth most receiving yards, most receptions per game, and most receiving touchdowns per game to the wide receiver. They are brutal. Greg Olsen should be mentioned too. Tampa sucks against tight ends as well.
Yeah.
Greg Olsen is 6,000. You could really go Voltron on this one and go Olsen, Moore, Funchess, McCaffrey, Newton, and really just have this game kind of locked up and hope that Carolina scores 45 points.
Yeah, and then on the other side, pick somebody to run it back with on Tampa.
That's true, and it might be DeSean Jackson, 5,300. He was Fitzpatrick's guy.
He was, yeah. Although Mike Evans was also better with
That's true.
With Fitzpatrick. Evans had 122-1 per game in the three games that Fitz played this year. I'm just actually seeing now that Carolina is the worst in the league against tight ends. So I don't know if we want to bring O.J. Howard into play.
Do we?
I know, 5,300 is a lot.
Do we want to bring O.J. Howard into the game? Especially Cameron Brate just saps that value. If we had O.J. Brate or Cameron Howard fused into one player, that would be a great tight end. But the fact that we're splitting these guys into two players, it's maddening.
We split them? Were they originally
O.J.
Brate?
Yeah, they were.
We just cut them in half. All right, you get to do this, and you can...
Is that like mitosis or something? I don't know.
Or meiosis. I don't know.
I don't remember science class that much. It's just frustrating. I want them to be one player. Go back to one.
Good stuff.
Fuse together.
I would say, too, you can play Ryan Fitzpatrick. The matchup isn't great, but he's only 6,100. He's one of the you know, cheaper quarterbacks on the slate. And
that's true.
They kind of have no choice but to throw. You know, Peyton Barber isn't any good. Ronald Jones is hurt. it's kind of like, well, this is our only option. So that's,
well, he's going to chuck the ball 50 times a game.
And we know he's got the, you know, 5 touchdown upside. So
he's also got the 4 interception
he's
downside.
Got that downside, yeah.
Ooh. All right. It's a good game to have a couple pieces of, I think. Mm-hmm. I think you're right there. Houston and Denver. Probably the least exciting of the afternoon games, but still, you know, better.
It would have been like a top 2 12 o'clock game.
Yeah, it would have been. Over under a 46.5 in this game. Obviously, the lead is that Demaryius Thomas, former Bronco, as of 3 days ago, is now on the Houston Texans playing in Denver. So Demaryius Thomas gets the instant revenge game right away, 5,400. The Broncos secondary hasn't been particularly good this year, at least not as dominant as they've been in years past.
And no one knows the Denver secondary better than the guy who goes against them.
That's
every single
day, right? You know? He's going to just give them the entire playbook.
Yep.
I don't know how to read this game. This is a weird game. I think Houston has a really good chance of just like absolutely running away with this game. But it could be Hopkins. It could be Lamar Miller. It could be Deshaun Watson doing it with his feet and ancillary pieces picking up things left and right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a sneeze.
Bless.
Yeah.
In this one, I like...
By the way, I'm a hero for fighting that sneeze off for like a minute and a half. That's really good. I was trying to just kill it. Didn't work.
You got to let it out. I mean, it just feels so...
It feels great.
Okay. Cloud nine over there.
So
I think, you know, Courtland Sutton is kind of the guy that people are looking to, and I do like Courtland Sutton this week. You know, with Demaryius out, there's 8 targets and all that playing time. That
should mention that Sutton is 4,900 this week.
Yeah, so I don't like him as much as I like DJ Moore in that sub 5,000 range.
Yeah.
Number one play in this game to me is Emmanuel Sanders.
You're paying up. 7,300.
You're paying up a little bit, yeah.
He's in that second tier,
right,
price wise.
His role doesn't change at all. You know, he was in the slot anyways, which is where you want receivers to be.
Mm-hmm.
But it opens up a few more targets for him.
What about a naked Watson in this game?
I would probably pair him with Hopkins.
Yeah, you're spending up on Hopkins. I mean, you're spending
really
8,500 on Hopkins to get that, and Deshaun Watson's at kind of a value at 6,800. He's mm-hmm. below the 7,000 mark, which makes him more of a value, and he's coming off that huge game last week where I think he scored 40-plus fanball points.
Yeah, and he's definitely the type of quarterback that you could or would want to use by himself.
He's like a GPP winner kind of a quarterback.
Right, he's like Cam. Like, you could score 4 touchdowns, and they could all come from Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Picks up 1 or 2 on the ground, 30 rushing yards. You know, he's going to – he can do it all by himself without you picking the right target that he mm-hmm. that he hit for those scores.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next game. It's the Los Angeles Clippers against the Seattle Sea Chickens. Over under a 48 in this game. On the Seattle side, Chris Carson's value vaults all the way up to 7,100. He'd been kind of middling around in a lower price level. He's playing really well. And he's got a decent matchup here. Chargers are middle of the road against running backs. So I don't mind Carson at 7,100.
Yeah,
I don't feel great about it,
yeah,
but
I
don't mind it.
Better options. He's had 2 weeks this year where he was really viable, and he's had some real stinkers, even with volume. Like in Oakland, week 6, 14 touches, and he turned it into 6 points.
Yeah.
I'd probably look elsewhere.
Yeah. Tyler Lockett's 6,600 in this game. Lockett's been good, but he probably will match up with Casey Hayward, right?
Yeah, yeah. With Doug Baldwin, more of a slot guy.
Yeah.
Although Casey Hayward, at least in Green Bay, he can play the slot, but I think generally he's used now as just an outside corner.
Okay. And Russell Wilson, he was a guy who we used to talk about being like one of those quarterbacks that you could go naked Russell Wilson, but it's just not that way anymore. He's not running as much.
He's
not throwing as much, and the matchup isn't particularly good. Pretty good pass rush for the Chargers, so I'm probably avoiding Russ. On the other side, Melvin Gordon is a really, really interesting play. He's 8,500. On paper, this does not look like a good matchup against Seattle. However, Ezekiel Elliott, Todd Gurley, and David Johnson averaged 121 total yards and 1.3 touchdowns against them. So if you're a stud running back, you can get it done against the Seahawks team. Now we add in the injury and his injury status being kind of up in the air, and Melvin Gordon's going to be one of the least owned stud players on Fanball this week. And it's possible that he could be like a slate winner for you.
For sure. Yeah. If he's healthy this year, he's a top three running back.
Yeah.
So that's a good shout that, yeah, if we kind of get like late news or, you know, later in the week, we learn that, oh, Gordon's going to play, I still think his ownership will be lower. People haven't been thinking about him in a couple of weeks. That's good. It's a good shout. And then I'd say Keenan Allen as well. We know he's got the talent and he's just been, it's like 6 for 70, 5 for 90. Like it's not killing you, but we know he's got the 35-point type upside in him.
It's got to be coming, right?
Yeah, this is the longest scoreless streak of his career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tyrell Williams, worth noting, he's 5,500. If you're looking for a lower-priced guy, he's exceeded 100 yards in two straight games and had three scores in that span. So he's been a good player. He's been helping win people some cash on Fanball. All right, now we get into it. You ready? This is you could mark this down. Where are we at in the podcast? We're at about the 32-minute mark of the podcast. This is a whole new podcast right here because we actually have a slate devoted to these two games called the Shootout Slate this week. These two games we're going to talk about are the Rams and the Saints, the Packers and the Patriots. So if you want to listen to a Shootout Slate podcast, here it is right here. All right. Rams and Saints, over under of 60. How many over unders of 60
have there ever been?
Yeah. I'm going to look that up. You start talking about this game.
I think it was something like the third or fourth highest of the last three seasons, or it was in that top four. Over-unders. Anyways, my analysis is to play the players who are in this game. No, so let's see. At running back, we'll start Todd Gurley on the Rams side. 9,200, I don't think is expensive enough yet.
Does he need to be a $10,000 player before you're backing off?
I think he does. The floor is so good that you lock in those points, you lock in 25 points, and then you worry about the rest later. Also on the Rams side, I believe we're having Cooper Kupp return this week, which kind of makes me not as into Robert Woods or Brandon Cooks. You know, they were seeing really good roles with Kupp out. Brandon Cooks, it is a revenge game.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, he used to, that was when he was home for the Saints, that was when you played him. He was very T.Y. Hilton at home on the turf. He's awesome. On the road, not so much. So maybe familiar territory for him. 7,600.
He's going to show all the Rams all the great restaurants in New Orleans to eat at, too. They're going to feel, they're going to be so fat.
Yeah,
They're going to lose. Just watch.
And New Orleans is the worst team in the league against the receiver position.
They are. That's true. I think you just want to get as many pieces of this game as possible. I feel like you could just load up on everybody that you can fit in your lineup. Goff and Breeze are only 100 apart. If you're building multiple lineups, I definitely have a Breeze stack with the Saints and a Goff stack with the Rams. 7,300 and 7,200. Like you said, Gurley's not that expensive. Kamara's right in there at 8,300. He's giving you a 900 discount. He looked great against the Vikings last week. And Mark Ingram actually looked really good as well at 6,700. He's coming in at value.
Yeah, I like the Mark Ingram, especially because a lot of these guys, you know, you're paying kind of the full price. But I think Mark Ingram, he's a guy that could put in two touchdowns, a couple catches, you know, 15 carries, and he's only 6,700.
Yeah.
I think he and Cooper Kupp are kind of the
dark horses.
Not just a little bit of value, off of the top guys.
Ingram has the exact same amount of touches as Alvin Kamara since he's come back to the lineup.
Yeah.
So you're getting a substantial discount. I mean, it's 1,600 cheaper to go Mark Ingram in this game. Got to mention Michael Thomas. Did you already mention him?
I did not.
Okay. 8,300.
Wait, which one?
There's two?
There's some other Mike Thomas somewhere in the league. I thought he was on the Rams. maybe we just removed him from the pool. But make sure you're clicking the right Michael Thomas people.
The only thing that I'd avoid in this game is the tight end position on both sides.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
just
fine.
Just gross. Is there a scenario, because on Fanball, we don't count negatives for points allowed for defenses, that the Saints are kind of a sneaky good defense at home? They've been very opportunistic this year. So they're only 2,900.
Yeah, but I think both of these defenses are kind of in play. The Rams are at 31.
Yeah. Breeze isn't immune to throwing interceptions either.
No, so. And where you get your defensive points, especially on Fanball, where we don't penalize you for points and whatnot, points allowed.
Is when the sacks.
Yep, sacks. So Aaron when the other Donald. Team throws the ball more, you have more opportunities mm-hmm. for sacks and interceptions.
I like it.
So these two teams, they should both run a lot of plays. Obviously, a lot of points will be put up. But, yeah, it just takes one pick six, and you're paid off on your defensive salary.
Okay. Final game in the slate. And this is the one that you've been drooling for.
Goat v. Goat.
What? Really?
That's how they're pitching it.
You're calling Aaron Rodgers the GOAT?
That's what NBC said. That's what Michael Jordan was saying in his little promo that he cut for him.
Wow. How about 12 v. 12?
Also true.
Yeah. All right. Green Bay Packers against the New England Patriots. An over-under of 57.5 in this game. I did look up what the over-unders had been earlier this season. The Patriots and Chiefs, that game started at 58.5. By game time, it hit 60.
Okay.
So 60 with the Rams and the Saints is right on par with that. And this Patriots-Green Bay game could go the same direction and could be teetering closer to 60 before we hit game time, because usually a lot of public money that come in on both of these two teams. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers is 7,400. Tom Brady is 7,400. Tell me why I should play either of these guys.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
I thought I was listening to Howie and Brian.
Yeah.
Everyone for a minute. I just watched this documentary on the Backstreet Boys. It's actually really good. I grew up.
I love how you're like a closeted, not so closeted boy band fan.
Well, I was very much uncloseted when I was like 10, and it was they're both very good now, them and NSYNC. But I was a Backstreet Boys. You know, you had to like pick one.
You were on the Backstreet.
You couldn't be like a fan of Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera, right? You had to like pick
you couldn't.
One. Not when you're like 9.
Oh.
Now you can, you know.
Okay, now you can dig them both.
Free country. Anyways.
All right.
I would go with Rodgers over Brady.
Oh, of course.
Because I'm a homer, and that's why.
That's it?
No. Brady's got a running game, frankly. And Rodgers.
Rodgers doesn't.
Mostly doesn't. Whether it's they don't have players or the players are getting traded because they stink or the coach doesn't want to run the ball. And I think Rodgers is more likely to – the Packers are more likely to fall behind than the Patriots are and have to, you know, have Rodgers throw 25 times in the second half for 202 or something.
So how essential is a Rodgers-Devontae Adams stack?
I'd say
half your lineups?
You need one. A half is probably strong.
I mean, if you're putting Rodgers in your lineup, are you putting Adams in your lineup for sure?
Not for sure, but I'll definitely make sure to
what?
Have
what? Not for
stacks.
Sure?
Because it could be Jimmy Graham. It could be Valdez Scantling has still been effective.
Could be Jimmy Graham. You funny guy. It's never Jimmy Graham. Oh, the Patriots versus the tight end, pretty bad. They are, they've given up the most receiving touchdowns per game to the tight end position, and they're bottom 10 in both receptions and yards to the tight end position. So Graham at 5,600, I guess he's in play. I'd still be going Devontae Adams and stacking him with Rodgers. I'm avoiding the Packers running game altogether. On the flip side, I mean, you like Brady. You like Brady at home. Even though the Packers have been quite a bit better this year especially from a pass defense standpoint. They have been dinged a little bit on the running side, though, which puts James White in play at 7,700. Although, Packers have been tough against receiving backs. So, if Sony Michel can somehow go in this game, he is all of a sudden quite interesting. And if Sony Michel doesn't go, you can go all the way down to Kenjon Barner at 3,300, who might get meaningful running touches in this game.
Yeah, I thought he would get meaningful running touches last week with Michel out, and he got
two
of these running touches. He turned them into 4 yards.
So is it just James White then?
Yeah, I think if Michel is out, James White at 77 is a lock for cash, for tournaments. He's been
for everything. Yeah. Even if Michel's in.
Even if Michel's in, yeah, he still makes a really strong play.
It's not downside if Michel's in. Right. He's just good either way.
Right. So I think James White is probably my top play from this game. The receivers for New England, I don't know what to do. I guess Julian Edelman you can trust to be involved, but Chris Hogan, you know, I've lived that life. I'm about done there. And
you've lived that life.
I haven't been so many MFL 10s, and they're just bombing. Anyways, and then Josh Gordon, I liked a couple weeks ago, but then he comes back this week, and there's rumors he was suspended for a couple series. That turned out not to be true, but he only got 6 targets. So 6,800 is a lot to pay for a guy who we haven't seen do it this year.
Yeah, that's totally true. Very fair indeed. I'm trying to fill out the rest of my lineup here. Filibuster. Talk about this game more.
Okay. The last thing I'll mention, Rob Gronkowski, he's 6,500. So this is like the cheapest, you know, Gronk will be. He had or has been in the last 5 years. And it's warranted. He just isn't involved. His last 3 games, 8, 4, 7 targets. One touchdown on the year. He's really contrarian, I guess, is kind of the best thing I can say about
Super
him.
Super contrarian. Absolutely. Man, this is gross. Oh, man. Keep going.
No, that's all I got.
All right. Longer. Yeah, I'm not going to be able to make this lineup in time. I just can't. I know I have Gurley, I know I have White, and I know I have Duke Johnson. And then I'm trying to fill in wide receivers and quarterbacks. But I think the Rodgers play, I think the Brady play, I think Cam is certainly in play. And I'm spending up on a quarterback this week, I feel, with Mahomes as well. So I think I'm getting those kind of guys in my lineups and then matching them up with some decent wide receivers. And you can really get a lot done with if you use – the discount that Duke Johnson comes with, in my mind, I think he's a pretty good stash in what should be playing from behind for Cleveland. And I do like the James White play, and Todd Gurley is just so dang good that I think you're still getting good value out of him at 9,200.
I like it.
Oh, we did it.
We did it. Also, vote. Get out and vote.
Oh, yeah.
Early vote, regular vote.
I'm going to go vote.
Vote multiple times if you want, you know.
Yeah, just go vote early, vote often.
Impersonate, you know, whoever you want. Just get some votes out there, guys. Okay, I'm not actually, don't commit voter fraud. Unless you're like sure you can get away with it. And you vote the way I want you to vote.
No, no.
Oh, wait, is that not? Oh.
No, don't continue to, like, don't commit voter fraud.
Nobody listens.
Unless you can get away with it.
Just reach out, I got a thing going on Twitter, you know. Whole scheme, just, you know, hit me up and we'll we'll get you in prison real fast.
Trevor's getting indicted. He will not be on the podcast next week.
I'm doing it from the, you know, you received a call from correctional facility. Would you like to accept the charges?
Sure. All right, for Comrade Trevor at TJones5. This is Matt Harrison at Explosive Output. Go play some games on Fanball this weekend. Fanball.com. is the website that gets you to the lobby. Fanball.com/bid will get you to the auction room if you want to go play an auction. And we did do a couple of podcasts on the auction slates for Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Whenever you're listening to this, there's an auction podcast to go along with those player pools, and you can go play those too. So we appreciate all you guys listening. Please rate and review our podcast on iTunes. Helps us out a lot. Helps more people find the pod. Yeah. Thanks, guys. See you all next week on Fantasy Football Almost Daily.